Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson. Welcome to today's show. Being a property investor is one of the ways that we can invest for our future. And today, we're going to be talking to a property buying expert. Why should we use an expert? Because they've been in the game a lot longer than we have and have that inside knowledge and that track record that I think we can all take advantage of when we're looking at setting up some income streams for our retirement. So today I'm very excited to welcome Rich Harvey to the show. Rich is the Managing Director and Founder of propertybuyer.com.au, and he will give you a totally independent buyer's agency account of the market in Australia and how you can benefit from their advice and how you can work with them. Rich and his team have purchased over 2,500 properties for their clients. Rich is a regular speaker at property shows and a commentator for major property magazines, The Financial Review, Sky Business, and on other media outlets. Welcome to the show, Rich. I'm pleased to be talking to you today.
Thanks very much, Anne. Pleasure to be on your show.
So perhaps we better start off by just saying, qualifying, what is a buyer's agent?
Sure. Look, a buyer's agent is someone that works exclusively for the purchaser. They're representing the buyer in all stages of the transaction and they're only paid by the buyer. Normally you have a selling agent and they will represent the vendor, the person selling the property, but there hasn't been many people working strictly with buyers. So that's what a buyer's agent does. They work on the buyer's side to help find the property, to appraise it, negotiate it, and they get paid a fee for doing that service.
Thank you. And why did you start your property buying business and how long have you been in the real estate game?
And I started my property buyer business back in 2001, so we've been going for 16 years now. And I started it because I really believe that buyers need to be represented 100% in the transaction. Vendors have been represented for a long time by selling agents, but the purchasers have been the forgotten party in the transaction. And that's where the buyer's agent comes in. So a true buyer's agent only represents the purchaser and they help the buyer to find the right property, to appraise the value and negotiate the best price strictly on behalf of the purchaser.
And how do you find properties for your clients? What process do you take in the finding of these properties?
Yeah, again, what we do, we essentially create a brief for our clients. First thing we do is ask them their requirements and get an understanding of what their needs are. So that's the first step. We really need to create a target and understand the criteria that the client is going to be choosing a property from. And if the client doesn't really have any ideas, we'll really give them a much clearer picture of what they need to do and what they need to look for. So that's the first step, is creating a brief or what we call a strategy. The second step from there is to provide research on the areas that we're going to be focusing on. So if you came to me and in my business, you said, look, Rich, I've got about $500,000 to spend. I want to buy a good quality investment property and get a high yield and good growth. Then we'll recommend some areas and some suburbs that will fit that brief and deliver the growth and the yield that you're looking for. So once we've provided that research, which comes from a number of independent sources and also our own internal research, after that, we'll then go and search for individual properties that we think meet the investment grade criteria. So we'll shortlist those properties. We'll inspect those properties before we take you out to show them. And then we present those properties to you in a consolidated form. Once we get your feedback on those properties, you can either inspect them online or come out and visit them in person with us. We then evaluate the best one. We tell you what it's worth. And then the next step is to negotiate with the agent. Some properties might be a private treaty. Other properties might be sold by auction. So we will attend the auction on your behalf, or we'll try to buy it pre-auction if we can. Once we've got price agreed and terms agreed, we then arrange with your lawyer to review the contract. We arrange for a pest and building inspection to be done, complete any other due diligence that's required, and then arrange for the exchange of contracts. And then the last step after you've exchanged is to find a good quality property manager. So someone who will find a tenant and collect the rent and look after the property. And then the final step is pre-settlement inspection for you. So it's an end-to-end process.
It sounds like you do everything.
We do. We do everything. The clients sit back and really enjoy the ride. So it takes a lot of stress, a lot of pressure off buying properties. I mean, most people we find on their own take around 12 months to buy a property. From the idea of the concept of, yep, I'm going to buy a property, to actually securing something takes 12 months. With our process, we can normally do it anywhere between 30 to 60 days. So it's a much faster process.
That's very encouraging. Do you ever have clients that come to you and say they want to buy a property in a particular area because they think it's going to be a good investment? Have you ever had to disagree with them?
Absolutely. As I was saying before, we give our advice without fear or favour. Some clients might have read an article or a hot tip in a magazine and think that, you know, Timbuktu is a good area to invest in, and we'll tell them, unfortunately, Timbuktu is not going to deliver the yield nor the growth that is expected. I mean, I'm just making up a fictitious suburb here. But look, we're very forthright and very straight with our advice. We have nothing to hide. We're very much about being upfront and honest and open about the advice we give, because we want our clients to come back and buy their second and third and fourth properties and for them to tell their friends about us. So, you know, we've been in business for a long time, and we plan to be for many years to come, and that's why we've won over 30 awards for excellence.
That's great. I know the mining industry towns have been good in the past, but they are currently probably not considered great at the moment. Have you ever dealt in that market?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, I've spent a lot of time myself in Queensland, in other New South Wales regional towns. And, you know, I remember someone telling me or trying to force me to send my clients to a place called Newman, which is in Western Australia, and Port Hedland and Karratha. And at the time, they were returning spectacular returns. You were getting 11 to 15% yields in those areas on a residential property, but you had to spend almost $1 million for a fibro shack. Now, people that spend $1 million on those properties, unfortunately today, they're now worth about $300,000 or $400,000. So they've significantly declined in value. So fortunately, we didn't put any of our clients in there. So you often have to say no to a lot of investments till you get to the right yes. So you've got to be very, very careful about investing in mining towns and areas that only rely on one major economic driver. My view is that you should be buying in capital cities or major regional centres that have a very diverse range of employment drivers.
All right. So what sort of clients do you work with?
Yeah, and we work with a range of clients. We work with home buyers, we work with property investors, we work with commercial buyers, and we work with some developers in sourcing sites. So pretty much we work with anyone that wants to buy a property, whether they've got a budget of like as small as $300,000 up to many millions of dollars. We're happy to work with that. I have a team of 12 that work with me, and they all specialise in different types of properties and different geographic areas. I'm also the president of the Real Estate Buyers Agent Association of Australia, and I have a network of contacts right across the country.
Well, that's great. It seems like you're the go-to person for all things in buying property. Do you help people from overseas and expat buyers as well?
Yeah, definitely. We love working with our expats and our overseas buyers. They're some of our favourite clients. And I've helped people from the US, from Singapore, Hong Kong, London, Africa, wherever. And look, I guess there's another level of due diligence we have to do for people sitting overseas because they can't, they often don't physically inspect the property. I remember attending an expo many years ago in Hong Kong and meeting a client in a hotel there, and they wanted to buy their family home, and they engaged us, and we did some research, we found some opportunities, and we exchanged on a property. Then it came time for them to come back 2 years later to see the property they bought. And, you know, sometimes you can be a bit nervous thinking, well, I hope it meets their expectations. And, look, they were absolutely thrilled. Not only had the property exceed their expectations, but it also had gone up significantly in value. So they were very, very happy. But with our overseas buyers, we take some extra photos. We can even, you know, take our iPhones through and video different things, or but we can provide some extra assistance for them just to make sure they feel comfortable buying properties from a large distance away.
Well, that's very comforting to know. So where do you see the market heading here in Australia now that Sydney and Melbourne are getting so expensive?
Yeah, we've had spectacular growth in the Sydney and Melbourne market, and the last 5 years we've seen, you know, price rises of, you know, 10% to even 15% per annum in some of our major capital cities. So we're very much at the peak. I think we've actually passed the peak for both Sydney and Melbourne. And I think we're on the, you know, price growth is decelerating. So, you know, it's not like your foot's come completely off the accelerator. It's just that we're slowing down to a much more sustainable rate of growth for the rest of 2017. The other thing to mention is that when we talk about the market, there's not one Australian property market. Unfortunately, the statistics are averaged out and become a bit meaningless. So in Sydney alone, there's 750 suburbs. In Australia, there's over 15,000 suburbs or postcodes. So you have to be very specific about talking about individual markets. And going forward from here, I think there's, you know, we're going to see a slower rate of growth. I think investors need to expect to moderate their expectations, and we'll see a lower rate of growth. But it doesn't mean you can't make money in the next few years in the market. And it doesn't mean you need to put your retirement plans on hold. Yeah, you can be very much investing actively in properties, and we can talk about some strategies in a few minutes about what I recommend then.
All right. So you deal all over Australia?
Yeah, we have a network of buyer's agents that can find properties in all the states.
Is there any reluctance on buyers to own properties interstate?
I think people that haven't done it before, they might feel a bit nervous about that. And I think the key is to, or a couple of keys. One is you've got to have the right information. You know, if you're sitting in a home in Perth and you want to buy a property in Sydney or Newcastle, it's quite a long journey. You know, it's 5 hours on a plane to get over and have a look. So I think the key to buying a property interstate is, one, have the right information. Two, get a really good property manager that will look after the property and advise you of any problems very timely in their communications to you.
All right. So now can we move on to advice for people with different ages? So starting from, say, people that have got 20 years to go before they retire and then down to only, say, 5 years.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. I think the advice for people thinking about retirement is think about it sooner rather than later. I think when you're a 20-year-old, you don't really think about retirement because that's, you know, that's the old folk. Like my 18-year-old son, retirement's the furthest thing from his mind at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm encouraging him to think about saving and putting a deposit on a property and actually starting the process early, because if you start a habit today and you adopt that for life, it's going to be a lot easier to save up for a property over a period of time. So if you say 20 years out from retirement, it means you're still going to go through maybe two or three property cycles. So you've got some opportunities to be a bit more aggressive or a bit more bullish on what you can do. If you're only 10 years out from retirement, again, you at least go through one property cycle. So you've definitely got some good opportunities. If you're only 5 years out, you perhaps want to be a little bit more conservative in what you're doing. But there's certainly a number of steps you can take to achieve your investment goals. But my advice is start earlier and as soon as possible.
Unfortunately, we've gotten into the habit of thinking, oh, we've got plenty of time till we retire, and not looking at it until after we're 50 or after we're 55.
That's right.
So we're limiting our chances, I suppose. Can you just explain about the what you term the property cycle for those that may not know what you meant?
Sure. So the property cycle is there's like a theory that it's like a clock and it goes through four distinct phases. So after the peak of the market, there's a slowdown, and then after the slowdown, there's a downturn. If you think of the clock from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, that's the slowdown. And then you have the downturn, you know, from sort of 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Then you have the recovery phase or the upturning market from sort of 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then the real growth phase from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. So they're all, it's look, it doesn't ever work in a beautifully circular or linear fashion. You're never going to see a perfect rate of growth of, you know, 7% per annum. But as cycles have tended to be between 7 to 10 years in the property market for the last 100 years. Some cycles are getting longer. So I think we've been in a low interest rate environment for the last several years. So that's really fueled a lot of growth. I think the next cycle will probably take a little bit longer, but you do have to be in the cycle. I think just because things are changing and the market's constantly moving is not a reason to be out of the market. You're better off to be in the market for the longer term.
Do you have any particular strategies that you recommend for investors? Is there a return that is achievable?
Definitely. There's a number of different strategies, Anne, that we recommend for our clients. It really depends on their age and stage and what their goals are. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Let's say you've got a person on a lowish income, around $60,000 a year. They don't have a lot of spare cash. They're going to need to buy a property that's either neutrally geared or positively cash flowed. And that way, it doesn't endanger them getting into financial trouble. Whereas someone who's on a much higher income, like $200,000 a year, who's got plenty of spare cash, they may be able to take advantage of negative gearing and buy a property closer into, the centre of the CBD, which has potentially higher growth prospects. So there's a balancing act between, you know, positive cash flow and negative gearing and the rate of growth. Now, it's not to say that you can't get both. You can't get positive cash flow and high growth, but you've got to be very specific in where you buy and what you buy. So I'll give you a couple of strategies. The positive cash flow strategy, how do we do that? Well, we pick areas where there's firstly high rent demand, and we look for ways to add value or add another stream of income to the property. So the way we add the extra stream of income is adding a granny flat or adding on an extra bedroom or doing a subdivision. So adding a granny flat's a great way to go. We're doing that regularly in Brisbane. We're buying houses for between $300,000 to $400,000, adding a granny flat for about $110,000 to $120,000, and those flats will generate around $300 a week in rental income. Add that to the existing rental on the house and you've got, you know, a yield of somewhere between 6.5% to almost 7.5% or more, depending on the price point. Another strategy is to find an existing block and knock it down and do a duplex or a dual living home. They're really good strategies to do, and you'll get higher depreciation when you're building from scratch. Another strategy is to do a renovation, just simply, you know, do things like painting, replacing the carpets, polishing the floorboards, putting in a new kitchens and bathrooms, and that sort of thing. But the key there is to not overcapitalize. I see far too many people going in and just doing way too much than they need to. And if you go over the top, it's not really going to raise the rent that much more. So just be very careful when you're doing the renovation.
Right.
Subdivisions and sort of small developments, they're not for the faint-hearted. You really need to work with a team of people and experts that can guide you in that process. So it's important that you don't bite off more than you can chew. I say to clients, learn to walk before you run. You know, get a couple of properties under your belt before you start doing small development work. So there are a couple of strategies that I recommend for our investors.
Well, thanks, Rich. So for people that are looking for their family home, or in our case with people slowing down and have that empty nest, they're quite often looking at downsizing. What strategies do you recommend for them?
Look, downsizing is a constant phenomenon, and a lot of people, when the kids have left home and they're empty nesters and they're rattling around a large house, they often don't do it because they think it's too much hassle. Again, think about decluttering as a first step. You can put things on Gumtree, have a garage sale, and just get rid of some junk you've accumulated. And it's amazing when you open a kitchen cupboard and you see 300 plastic bags shoved in a drawer. So, you know, have a think about where you want to be living as a downsizer. If you want some more lifestyle appeal, if you want to live closer into town or near a waterway or close to the beach, go and visit those areas, you know, and have a look around and see what might suit. Work out what it's going to cost you to move, work out what you're going to get for your own home, and work out what you need to pay for the next one. And obviously we'd love to help in that buying process if you're going to do that. But it's often about, you know, getting some options and having a chat to a professional that can help you through that process, because it can be a bit stressful when you've lived in a place for 20 or 30 years and, you know, change can be difficult. But again, start sooner and move before you really think you need to. The other tip, Anne, to think about is future-proofing. You know, if you are sort of getting on in years and you're sort of 70-plus, think about your health and don't buy something with a three-story walk-up. You know, make sure it's a single level or has a lift access, or think about how much maintenance you want to spend on a property and buy appropriately.
Thank you. Well, that's all good advice too. I have heard that some people retire to where they used to holiday. And I know there's a lot of people have retired at the Gold Coast there in Queensland. And recently there's been a big announcement that a Chinese businessman is going to put in another major theme park into the Gold Coast. So what do you think is going to happen with the Gold Coast market?
Look, the Gold Coast market, my parents are actually one of those people that retired there 20 years ago, and they loved it. They moved from Sydney and moved up, and my sister was up there. I've got family up there and really enjoyed the lifestyle and felt like they're on holidays the whole time. So, yeah, you can pick some good areas. The Gold Coast market hasn't performed that strongly. It's been a bit lackluster. It is starting to turn a bit. I mean, the Commonwealth Games will give it a little short injection, but that's not going to be a major long-term thing. There are a lot of retirees, so, you know, it's got a great attractive lifestyle, some lovely beaches, great clubs, lovely waterways. So I think it's got some, definitely got a lot of attraction. It's a very temperate climate, especially in the winter months, quite hot in the summer months. So I think the Gold Coast market will continue to attract that kind of downsizer. If you're an investor, again, just be very careful to avoid, you know, the apartments, especially in the Broadbeach and South Bank areas. I think there's a potential oversupply of some apartments there. They don't tend to perform very well. So, again, get local advice and get some really good advice before you jump in on all fours.
Oh, that's good advice, Rich. Before we go, can you tell me about some of the clients you have assisted and what you achieved for them?
Sure. We've helped over 2,500 clients over the last several years of being in business, and I've got heaps of fantastic stories, so I won't take up too much time, but I'll just give you a couple of highlights of what we've done. As I mentioned before, for our investors, we can work with budgets sort of from that 300 to 500 grand. I'll just give you an example of one we did recently. We found a house in Brisbane in a good suburb for $367,000 that we bought at the beginning of the year. It was already renovated. It was a three-bedroom house on an 800-square-metre block and was getting $400 a week in rent. So you're already getting around 5.5% just on the house. We added a granny flat to that property. We helped project manage that. That brought in another $300 a week. So we're getting $700 a week on a total outlay of around $480,000. And that gave us a yield of around 7.3%. So really, you know, positive cash flow, good quality investment that investor will be able to hold for the long term. We did a similar one on an even cheaper property that we bought in January for $275,000, did a 10K reno, and we're able to get a yield of 8% for a client on that. So if you're adding the granny flats, you're going to get a yield of somewhere around 7% to the return. Another one we did for a client too was in Newcastle. We purchased a property in there. That market we think has a lot of legs to go forward in. And we got a corner block on 560 square metres. And we're going to be able to put a flat on the back of that one as well. But look, in terms of downsizes, we helped a lovely couple in Sydney just recently to buy a place down by the beach. They're absolutely thrilled because we were able to buy it pre-auction and really save them a lot of time and a lot of hassle. And they just get very scared of auctions and didn't want to attend. So we're able to appraise the property and secure it with a pre-auction offer, which is quite difficult in this market. But we're able to do that, and they'll be able to have a stress-free move into that for their retirement years.
Well, that's all very good information. So before we finish, could you give us an idea of what you believe property buyers can save their clients?
Sure. Look, I guess the value that we bring, or the value proposition we bring, is a couple of things. One, we save a huge amount of time in the searching process. Secondly, we can identify the suburbs that will suit your lifestyle if you're a home buyer, or will certainly tick the right boxes from an investment perspective. To find and get your head around the whole market can often take people 1 year to do that, but we can fast track our investors into the right areas by, running off our coattails into the area. I can't give you a specific percentage to say, and look, we'll save you X percent on every deal. It doesn't work that way. Every property is different. Every suburb is different. But we charge a flat fee for our services. Any property under 500K, we just charge a flat fee of 9,000 plus GST. And then we have a scale of fees that works above that, which is almost the equivalent of 2% of the purchase price. But we work on a flat fee because we don't want there to be any perception of bias in the way that we negotiate. The other value add we bring, and the big one, is just how we negotiate. We're really tough negotiators. When it comes to buying a property, we don't leave any stone unturned. We try to secure it for the lowest price we can, but we have to get the vendor to say yes to our offer. So we know how to play the game. We've been in the business for many years, and we know the tricks of the trade that real estate agents do to try to work you up, and we know how to beat them at their own game. So we certainly enjoy that process, and we love negotiating really hard for our clients. The other thing we bring to the table, Anne, is just buying the property, executing the contract, completing the due diligence. A lot of people fail at that step. They might have found the right property, made an offer, but they're not fast enough at the exchange point. And when they're competing with other buyers for a good quality property, you've got to know how to do it quickly and safely. So we bring a certain skill to that part of the transaction as well that really helps our buyers to secure their favourite home. So hopefully there are a couple of things that we can show as demonstrating real value to our buyers.
It sounds like you will. That's very reassuring and comforting to know that there is people out there and businesses out there like yours. So today we have been talking with Rich Harvey from propertybuyer.com.au. So how would people get in touch with you? Is going to the website the best way?
Yeah, the website propertybuyer.com.au, or they can just ring our phone number, which is 1-300-655-615. I'm very happy to chat with people anytime. On our website, we also have a contact us page. You can just fill in a form there and shoot us a note, and we'll be back in touch with you ASAP.
Right. Well, thanks very much, Rich.
My pleasure, Anne. Lovely to be on your show.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.